everyone, and you're listening to Love Talk with Kira, where we discuss the 50 ways of love, the do's and don'ts of dating in today's era, where we also discuss sex, fetishes, and going deeper. So stay tuned. Everyone, and welcome back to Love Talk with Kira, where we discuss the 50 ways to love, the do's and don'ts of dating in today's era, where we also discuss sex, fetishes, and going deeper. Today's episode is episode number 62, and I wanted to just take a quick minute and say thank you to each and every one of you for your continued support. You're super fabulous. I love you. And thank you for your feedback. I hope you're having a super fantastic time listening in, and let's move forward with episode number 62. And it is discussing your love languages. Do you know your love languages? Do you, can you list your love languages in order? And that's what I want you to do. I want you to find out what your love languages are and your top love language. And there are five, and then go down. List them from number one, the most necessary love language for you, to five being the least most love language for you. Okay. Now, we all use our love languages, all five of them. And from what I've learned, everyone has their top love language that's most necessary to allow them to, you know, love or feel loved from their partner or from friends or from work, you know, just in everyday scenarios. It doesn't matter where you are, really. And that's important to remember, is because this isn't only just about dating and relationships, marriages and stuff like that, but it's also about your everyday life. And, you know, once people understand how to communicate properly with the people they're around, and, you know, as long as they're nice people, of course, you want to make sure you're surrounding yourself with positive people. And not everyone's going to be happy every day, so don't expect them to be, because that's just ridiculous. But at the same time, as long as no one's abusing you or taking advantage of you or lying to you on a daily, you know, and manipulating you and stuff like that, then you're basically surrounding yourself with positive people, okay? The other types that I just listed are very negative and toxic people, and you should try your best to remove yourself from them or have them removed. All right, that's important. It can make a huge, huge difference on the stress in your everyday life and your mental health and your well-being and how you're productive at work or in your relationship, in your marriage, in your dating, you know, phases. It's all relative, and so it's very important. So you wanted to do your words of affirmation, gifts, quality time, acts of service, and words of affirmation. Okay, did I say that? Words of affirmation, gifts, quality time, acts of service, and then what was the fifth one? The fifth one is touch. All right. So, touch is important. You're going to consider touch as not necessarily being sexual. At the same time, it's important to be able to touch your partner, and to be able to touch them, excuse me, physically is important, because we all need to be touched, okay? And you're not even just touched mentally, okay, but you're touched physically. So if someone touches you in a specific spot and you don't like that because it triggers some negative emotion, then that's important for you to communicate to your partner that that made you feel uncomfortable and why, and then explain to them why and say, it's not you, honey. It's that act itself because of this and that. And it's most likely triggered from something from your childhood. You were taught or raised to react in that manner. Somebody taught you that you should feel a certain way if somebody touches you in a certain way, or something happened to you where you were actually, you know, abused or you might have been molested, something like that. You know what I mean? And where they touched you right there and it reminded you of that. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, don't touch me there. You know, that makes me, or somebody, you know, did something really negative and it brings back those triggers and those memories and those thoughts of that, even though the person doing it now isn't that person at all and they actually love you, you know, this other person, this new person or your partner at the same time, especially if you have not healed from any negative situations from childhood or adulthood, you know, what have you throughout your life in general, then it will trigger stuff like that. So just remember to be able to communicate that with them and say, you know, it's not you, it's the situation and this is how it makes me feel. And until I can heal from that, you know, it's going to continue to do that. And then you find out how you can heal. Okay. Forgiveness of them and you and all of that. That goes deeper in my other podcasts that you can listen into. That's the first step. Forgiveness has nothing to do, I'm going to say this again, has zero to do with saying it's okay for what happened to have happened to you, okay? That is not even in, that's not even kind of even somewhat of what that means. So make that very clear. Forgiveness is just saying they have no power over your mindset anymore. Their hideousness and their act of negative disgust and like foul behaviors has no impact on your mindset anymore and is not keeping you stuck to where you cannot move forward anymore, which would allow you to open up and allow your partner to touch you there where that other person did, because you're not thinking, you're not correlating it with that other person anymore. And as soon as you release that energy, then you will be able to let your partner touch you there because you're not correlating it with that situation anymore. That situation is gone. It has nothing to do. You don't think about it. You don't put those two and two together anymore. Okay. Which allows your partner and you to be able to share whatever you want to without stopping in the middle of it going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you know, and starting feeling some pain again from past situations. So that's what usually keeps people stuck, is they haven't released that tension. They haven't forgiven. They haven't done that forgiveness part. And a lot of people, as soon as you say forgiveness, and I know because I did it too one time, I said forgiveness. I was like, "Are you got to be kidding me?" And then the more I learned about forgiveness, the more I was like, oh, okay. I understand now. But it took me a little bit of time too because I was like, what? I'm like, forgive them. I'm like, you got to be off your rocker. I'm like, you know what they did? Blah, 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 blah. You know? Heck no, I'm not going to forgive them. And then once I calmed myself down and was actually able to listen to what I was being taught, like which is what I'm teaching you guys now, I was able to be like, oh, okay, I get it. Okay, it's not saying what they did was okay. It's just not allowing them to take over my mindset and which keeps me stuck in the negative mindset myself and of oppression and sadness and resentment and anger and bitterness and just disgust, okay, on every human fathomly level that you could be on, all right? If I hadn't gone through it, I couldn't explain it now. So I'm trying to help other people understand because I've been through a lot of different things and different scenarios that people have no idea. They're like, what? Holy cow. Like, that happened to you? And they would never have guessed, but yes. And so I'm able to help other people now. And that's what I've been trying to do. And for the past 8 years, you know, I've been working on not only myself, but working with other people and traveling around with them. And they were encouraging me to go ahead and do this. And that's why I started doing it. And I keep saying that over and over and over again. It's just a profound feeling once you're actually able to be free and feel free, you know, finally for the first time in your life. It's like mind blowing. So that's why I'm always trying to help people. But okay, knowing your love languages is very important. And it's only going to help you be able to communicate with your partner. Okay. Now, there are a bunch of different authors who will discuss your love languages. And I think that that's important for you to decide who you want to listen to. They're all basically the same. Okay. There's Julie Nguyen, and there is Gary Allen, Okay. And I think that there are different quizzes that you can take to find out what love language is yours. Your top love language is what I'm going to say. You can go to, it's www.5lovelanguages.com. All right. That's going to give you different quizzes that you can take. So that's www.5lovelanguages.com. That's going to give you different quizzes that you can actually take. And they're going to talk to you about, you can take it, but your love language, you can do teens like languages now. You know, they have different ways for everyone to, you know, find out what your top love language is. And the reason we say this is because what it's going to do is it's going to allow you to be able to, you know, give to your partner the way they need to be given to or loved. Okay. Like if they need, or if they need whatever their needs are, you're going to be able to meet their needs, their desires, their wants. Okay. You're going to be able to meet all of that criteria because you're going to understand your partner on a deeper level, which is understanding what their love languages are. And that's why I say put all of them in order from top to bottom, because they'll say, oh, this is your top love language. Oh, I'm this. This is all I need. Well, no, you need all of them. We all need all of them, and all of them pertain to our entire lives and throughout our lives. And so it's necessary to understand all five and where they fit in to your life. That way your partner can understand how to meet your needs, okay, as a partner. Okay, so it would be like this as an example. If I was to be, let's say my, my top love language is quality time. Okay. Let's say mine is quality time, which means I need to spend quality time with someone and I don't have to actually have them sitting right next to me, which I love that too, or going somewhere with them and have them with me, but I can also be on the phone with them, or I can, you know, share an experience with them, which is quality time to me. At the same, or, you know, maybe working on a project together, that's quality time. Something that we're doing together, sharing that quality time is important. Intimacy is quality time, of course. You know, making love, all that is quality time. Now, if I was to be married or dating or what have you, in a relationship with another person who their top love language was gifts. Okay. So they love having gifts. Now, most likely they didn't have any gifts given to them when they were younger. So they always wanted them and they never got them. And now they're needy in the area where they want that they want that gift, or they were raised as gifts show love. Okay. Gifts show love, when that's how they were raised and that's how they think. So that's what they want. They like gifts. So if I wasn't to give them gifts that they want, they're most likely not going to want to reflect that happiness back to me and give me my quality time. Does that make sense? And if I wanted my quality time, we could share that by exchanging gifts. Now, gifts is my last love language, because to me, the quality time, you are a gift in so many ways. Your quality time is a gift to me, but actual physical gifts would be last, because to me, the quality time and like acts of service and, you know, words of affirmations, those are more important to me than the gifts. Okay. The touch is more important to me. The gifts would be last. In my opinion, for me, like all of you in as a entirety would be a gift to me. So, without the quality time, you know, without the other ones, I wouldn't have that gift in the end. Does that make sense? So to me, I need that quality time. you wouldn't be there, right? So, but if I was to not give my partner a gift as though they need, okay, in a special circumstance, what have you, then they would not most likely reflect the quality time that I want as well, because they wouldn't be having their needs met. So why would they want to meet my needs? And that's where everyone starts bumping heads, because they don't understand that my needs are different from your needs, because you like to be appreciated, valued, and respected. You feel respected if you're given a gift, or valued if you're given a gift of what type of gift that you like. And you need to explain that, because each person is different and unique and likes different gifts. Okay. So, you need to go over that with your partners. Words of affirmations, people going over what, you know, or saying something kind to you, you know, that's important. Some people appreciate that. I definitely appreciate it. I think it's very positive reinforcement, and just, it makes people smile. You know, there's nothing like seeing someone light up because you said something kind to them, but you meant it. So if you're saying something to somebody and you don't mean it and you're not genuine, it's going to show. And if you're just a fake person that just randomly goes and does stuff like that all the time, just because you're like, oh, I'm going to manipulate everybody around me, you know, kind of thing, that doesn't work either, okay? Because you're going to come off as so fake, and people are like, oh my God, you're so fake. It's irritating. So be genuine, okay? That's important. Your partner is going to sniff right through that. And if they don't right away, they will shortly, because it, you know, you're not going to be able to maintain that for life. And you just come across as a BSer, basically, okay? So don't do that. That's important also. Acts of service is so fantastic. You know, when you think of somebody doing something for you that just really helps. Like, have you ever gotten home from work and you're with your partner and you have your whole family, you know, or whatever, even if it's just the two of you, it doesn't matter, whatever situation you're in. You had stuff you needed to do. Let's say you left dishes in the sink. You never leave dishes in the sink. You're like, oh my God, we had company last night. It's late. I have to work tomorrow. Like, I have so much stuff to do. Like, I didn't have time to do it. So one time I didn't put everything away and clean up. And that's all you had on your mind now that whole night and all through work. And then you're like, God, I have to come home. I'm so tired. I got to come home and I got to clean the house again and put all the dishes away, you know, but you come home and your partner put all that away for you. You know, they did all that. And they're like, you know what? I got home first and I knew this needed to be done and I went ahead and I did it so that you didn't have to worry about it. And, you know, we can share our quality time now, you know. That's amazing. That is such a fantastic way to display team effort in a relationship. And just really can help put someone's mind at ease and just take some stress off of their backs. It's so important to be able to help your partner de-stress. You know what I mean? Like, they need to be able to learn to de-stress themselves, but at the same time, you're a team and you have to work with one another to help each other out. You know, you have each other's back. So whatever they need, you know, you want to try to, try your best to help them de-stress. You know, you de-stress yourself, you each other. That's how that works, okay? Without the other stress, and the other feels your stress and pain and anger and resentment, you know, what have you, or happiness and bliss, you know? So we'd rather be more happy, right? And just remember, you're not always going to be happy. Things aren't always, you know, unicorns and roses and all this fabulousness. So it's okay to be sad. Things, life happens. There's different things that happen, and, you know, you're triggered by different emotions at different times, and it is what it is. But just learn that your partner's there to help you and stand beside you, okay? Not in front or behind, but beside you to help you move forward. That's important. Otherwise, you have somebody trying to dominate everything all the time, and that can be really, you know, frustrating. in so many ways because you're like, oh my gosh. And then don't fish for compliments. That is the most disgusting thing ever. Okay. That just comes across as so disgusting. Okay. Don't fish for compliments. If you want to say, do you like this? Do you think this looks good? And they're like, yes or no, yes or no. You know, well, don't ask a question you don't want the answer to also. Okay. So if you're going to ask a question and they say no, they don't like that, then listen to what they're saying. Okay. Or don't be like, whatever, I shouldn't ask you. Well, maybe you shouldn't ask them, but don't slap it back in their face because you're the one that asked them. Okay. So think about that. And that's something a lot of people need to work on themselves. And they do this all the time. It's like, it's not your partner's fault. They're being honest. Now your partner doesn't have to say something rude. You know, they can say, you know, I like this better. You look beautiful in whatever you have on, but this is my favorite. Okay. This is what you look handsome in this, but I like this better. Okay. There's ways of saying it in a more professional and, if you're at work, more professional. And if you're in your relationship at home dynamic, or friendships, whatever, in a more, appropriate manner. Okay. In a more positive manner, which reinforces a positive, response. Otherwise you get that slap in the face, negative response. And it's not because of you, the person who was asked the question, is because the person who asked the question is insecure and shouldn't have asked the question. So it's your fault, not the person that answered. Okay. Yeah. Especially if you're going to ask a person that doesn't know how to speak properly to or respond respectfully, that you're not going to get a respectful response because they don't even know how to do that in the first place. Okay. So that's my whole point. So then you're going to get really upset because they're going to say something really jacked up, even though they probably didn't mean it that way, but that's how they're used to talking. And so that's how they're going to come across. And then you're going to be all upset and get your feelings hurt. Okay. And then it goes back and forth. And everyone's fighting. So these are why it's so important to know your love languages. Touching, so important because, like I said, you need to be able to be touched in the right way. You can play a game with each other if you want to and find out what feels good. You can say, from 1 to 3, good and bad, you know, 1 being really good and 3 being really bad, 2 being, you know, mediocre, obviously, and just go through different parts of your body that feel good and what don't feel good, you know, and find out that way, you can say, you know what, if we're ever making out or something like that, and I touch you in a place that you don't feel comfortable with, just say 3, you know, or 2 or 1, you know what I mean? Until you guys get to know one another's bodies and, feelings towards each other in different aspects and sexually, if you're in a relationship, you know, or marriage or dating, what have you, phases that, you know, you're actually having sex at this point, that's important. That way you're able, and I say marriage sometimes because sometimes people don't know anything about their partner and they got married. They have not a clue about anything. They just met them and got married. So this happens a lot to people. So just saying that, or you're young and you've never had sex before, you have no idea, period, about anything. And you just go into this and then you're like, oh my God, this is horrible. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh my God, what did I just do? It's horrible. I don't want to do this again. And then it's because you don't understand each other and what you need and how to get there and make it work. So that's important. And I say that because it is so important. And people will break up and they hate each other, cheat on each other, and all kinds of different nasty things that happen. And anyway, that's another podcast. But very, very, very important to know your love languages with your partner. And just think about it. And like I said, it's not even just about your partner, but it can go about your work relationships and friendships and, you know, what have you. Just there's so many different ways that people can find out what works best for them. And I think that, you know, once you have the opportunity to go over everything with your partner, the more you're going to be like, oh my goodness, you know, this is amazing. And why didn't we do this earlier? So when you think of building different relationships, then it, you know, it doesn't stop in the marriage. It doesn't stop in the dating phase. It doesn't stop in the friendships. It's all over. It's at work. You know, it's just, it's person to person to person, regardless of who you're with. Okay. So think about that. Also, when you're considering buying a gift for someone, I wanted to give this analogy, okay? This example of when you're giving a gift to someone and you are expecting them to like the gift that you gave them, although you've never asked them if they what they like. You just assume, which I always say, never assume anything. You ask the person, and the person needs to speak their truth and not lie about their truth. And that's what you ask for. It. If you lie about your truth, then you ask for everything you get. That's your karma. You ask for every single negative thing that comes to you because you ask for it by lying about your truth. So if you say you like, let's say you say you like daisies, and you can't stand daisies. They're the worst flower in history, and you despise them. And you're like, and someone, your partner brings you daisies because they're like, oh, you know, daisies are so beautiful. I love daisies. I brought you daisies. And you're like, oh, thank you so much. They're so beautiful. I love daisies. They're my favorite flower. Blah, 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 blah. But you're full of FOS, okay? Like, you can't stand daisies. But that person now trusts you in saying, and thinks that you're saying the truth and is thinking that you actually love daisies. And so they will bring you daisies all the time and you despise them. And so now you created, by not speaking your truth and lying to your partner for your own ill reasons, okay, because you're completely dishonest and can't speak your own, you know, you can't be honest. Like, so you have your own mental issue there, like, that needs to be addressed immediately, okay? Or you were taught to completely lie about stuff, which is ridiculous. Okay. So, but you were taught that. So now you're going to use that excuse and lie all the time instead of just speaking your truth and saying, I don't like daisies. Oh, thank you so much. In a way you can even say, you know what? Wow. Thank you so much. I love flowers. My favorite flower is, you know, red roses, or you can say sunflowers or what have you, whatever roses or sunflowers or, irises, whatever, lilies, whatever is your favorite, just say what it is. And that way you're speaking your truth and you're not saying, I hate daisies. You can explain to them that daisies, another time you can say, you know, and that's being polite and saying, you know, daisies aren't my favorite flower. My favorite flower are these, you know, and explain it to them. And they're like, oh, okay, thank you. You know, I'll get you that next time. And then that's what you're teaching them, how to respond to what it is that you need and you like. That way your mind's not triggered in a negative emotion every single time you get that daisy showed up in your face, because you created that, and that's your own fault. And people will blame their partner and get pissed at their partner because they're like, God, he keeps bringing me daisies, or she keeps bringing me daisies. I hate daisies. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, it's your problem. It's your fault. And if you had opened your mouth and said the truth the first time, they wouldn't have kept doing it. So it's your fault, not theirs. So don't blame somebody else for something that you chose to lie about, okay? And so little white lies are not cool, okay? So no, just speak your truth. There's nothing wrong with speaking your truth. The thing of it is how you say it. If you sit there and say, God, you're such a jerk. I hate daisies. Why did you bring me daisies the first time? They're going to be like, whoa, you have a psycho problem and I'm leaving and, you know, peace out, woman, you know, or peace out, man, you know, whatever. If you're in a dating phase and be like, Jesus, you know, you have a serious problem. You know, what's your issue? Okay, well, obviously the daisy triggered some situation that you have some problem with, okay, that you haven't discussed with your partner. Well, this obviously, they wouldn't have brought you daisies if they knew ahead of time. So that's another reason why it's great to get to know somebody. You know, find out what their flower is, what types of plants and flowers and stuff like that they like. Some people are just allergic to things and they can't have anything at all, and you don't know that, and you're just trying to be kind. So don't take it out at someone that's trying to be kind to you and they don't know. Simply explain to them what it is that you need, okay, and how you need it and what you like and don't like and blah, blah, blah. You know, that's part of learning your love languages, and that's what this is about. It's communicating with one another on a deeper level so that you can share the happiness and not be triggered by anger and resentment and, you know, sadness that you experience prior to this new person, a relationship or marriage, what have you, okay? So very, very important. So I wanted to share that with all of you, and I'm going to keep it at that for tonight, but thank you so much for joining in with Love Talk with Kira tonight, and you know, make sure you go a little bit deeper with your partner and understand one another, what your love languages are, and list them in order, okay? So make sure you do your you take the quiz, you find out what your top love languages, and then all the way down to your last love language, because we all use all of the love languages throughout our lives every day, you know? So it's not like, oh, I only need this love language. No, you really need all five. It's just find out what order you need them in, because we utilize all five throughout our lives every day. So you need to think about it that way in order to, you know, to really enjoy the best life, okay? So you can find out one and be like, oh, that's all I need to know. Well, whatever. You're going to enjoy a fifth of your best life, or you can enjoy the best life, okay? Knowing all five in order. All right. I love you guys. Have a super fantastic night, day, or morning, depending on what country you're in. And thank you for joining in with Love Talk with Kira. And we will talk soon. All right. Take care.